Angels are invisible helpers. Psalms 103, if you look down in verse number 19, Psalms 103, verse number 19, we'll read 19 through 21. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for giving us some information. And much of what we're going to learn about the angels are so encouraging to us. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have these supernatural helpers that minister to us from time to time. And Lord, I pray that we'd learn something about them. If we ever tried to worship one, we would be told, if it was an angel of God, we'd be told, get up, you don't worship me. That's what an angel told the Apostle John, a true angel of God, not a fallen angel, a true angel, would never accept worship. They're there for one reason, to serve the God of heaven and to point mankind to him to receive honor and glory. And so, Lord, as we learn about these invisible helpers, I pray, dear God, we'd be a little more knowledgeable and thankful for your divine plan, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you several things about angels this morning. Number one, angels are ministering spirits who obediently serve their Lord. They are ministering spirits who obediently serve the Lord. They are created beings. God created them for the purpose of serving him. The word angel means messenger. That's what it means. The Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture several things. Let's look back in verse number 20. The Bible says that they excel in strength. And so angels are supernaturally strong. And that's to our advantage. Also, their loyalty to God is without question. If somebody in the White House is pledged or committed to serve the President of the United States, they use a phrase, they say that we serve at his pleasure. And you remember what we just read in verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. They serve at the pleasure of the Lord. In other words, their life and their existence is not about them and what they want to do. Their life and existence is about God and what he needs for them to do. By the way, are you already figuring out that angels could be good examples to us as human beings? And so angels excel in strength. Their loyalty to God is without question. Angels obey the Lord's commands and hearken unto his voice. Again, verse 20, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They are God's ministers who do God's pleasures. And so angels are ministering spirits, part of that invisible creation. I've said this from time to time, and you have to have a bit of imagination, but the Bible says there's the visible creation and the invisible creation. Obviously, the visible creation is what we can see. Invisible creation is still just as real as the visible creation. We simply cannot see that. If God were to take the scales from our eyes that prevents us from seeing the invisible creation, I think here at church on a Sunday morning, we would be amazed at the supernatural activity that surrounds what goes on in a Bible preaching church. I think you would see present the angels of God. I think you would see present also fallen angels. The Bible calls them devils. They are servants of Satan. And by the way, don't think that they don't faithfully attend the house of God and to do what they can to try to distract and disrupt and to try to keep people from listening to and hearing the word of God. And they accompany in the lost, and their purpose is to try to keep them from hearing and accepting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the prayers that we prayed going out to the reservation, and you have to understand, folks, because of the religion. And by the way, Hopi religion, all Native American religion is really Satanism disguised as a religion. And so we understood that we were entering what is considered a satanic stronghold. And one of the things that I specifically prayed was, God, please dispatch your strong army of invisible helpers, invisible angels, to drive back the forces of hell, to build a perimeter around this reservation for our time here, so that the supernatural working of God can happen. And I think you'll enjoy hearing some of the testimony and see that God answered that prayer in a wonderful way, a mighty way. But by the way, that's not just true of what we should be praying for while we're on a missions trip. That should be the prayer of God's people every Sunday at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You see, I believe you'll find this to be true, that God will dispatch his messengers, his ministering spirits, in response to the prayers of God's people. And I believe that if you could see, by the way, did you pray this morning? Have you prayed since you got up? Have you prayed for your preacher? Have you prayed for the services? Have you prayed for the people that will be attending? Have you prayed for divine protection? Listen, if we fall asleep at the wheel in prayer, let me tell you what it allows. It allows, listen, God says, you have not because ye... And we're going to say, Lord, why didn't you protect us? Well, did you ask? And I believe sometimes that the devils wreak havoc in a church house. You know why? Because, watch this, the prayerlessness of God's people. And so that's just a general reminder. Please, folks, listen to me. What's going on here is supernatural. What's going on here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, to me, is the most important thing that's going on in this entire area. If it wasn't, I'd go find what was more important and go do it. I believe what we're doing here is life and death. And so we've got to pray. And we've got to pray for God's help and God's protection. Thank God for ministering spirits. Number two, angels are spirits, but power is given to them to become visible in the semblance of human form. Psalms 104, verse 4. I think you're pretty close there. 104, verse 4. And we notice this, that angels are spirits. That's established in the Bible. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. However, many times in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you will see that God sometimes allows an angel for a brief time to take visible form, oftentimes human form, to do something specific for him. In Genesis 19, I'll read the story here. And there came two angels to Sodom and Eve, and Lot sat in the gates of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? And so even though these were angels, God sent them in the form of men. Judges 13:6. Then the women came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. And again, here we see an angel in the appearance of a man. In Acts chapter 12, verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, talking about Peter, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. You remember the story? He followed this angel. And as they were progressing out of the prison, the gates were opening, and supernatural things were happening. And for a while, Peter thought he was having a dream. And as soon as they got to the outer gate, the angel disappeared. God sent a ministering spirit. That's, by the way, New Testament. Say, preacher, that's Old Testament. That's Book of Acts stuff. Well, how about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Throughout history, God has at times sent his angels to earth to deliver messages to men, to assist men, assist the God's children. Many times they took the form of men. Although angels are spirits, God allows them to sometimes appear to men as men. I think that that's a great verse. Let me just pause there. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. A stranger is someone you don't know, you never met before. A stranger is a visitor. I wonder if God just purposely chooses in the history of every church somewhere along the line to send an angel in the form of a man as a visitor to a church to see how the church of God will treat a stranger. I think you ought to keep that in mind, by the way, please. when you see people come in. Well, they sure don't look like an angel. Well, I'm not sure these folks always looked like angels or what people would be able to recognize. It says, by the way, unawares is the word. So they didn't know that they were angels either. Imagine that. Imagine that. But that's the Sunday that you're in a bad mood and you're not going to go around and shake anybody's hand and not make people feel welcome. That's the Sunday you're in a selfish mood and you're going to sit there and with your piece of paper marking the names of people that have and have not shook your hand. Hey, get up out of your seat and go and greet the visitors. You may be greeting, when's the last time you walked up to a visitor at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? I know if you're in the bus ministry, you got responsibilities after the service. When's the last time you walked up and introduced yourself and just said this? Hey, would you like to go out to eat with us? Hey, listen, me and my family take you out to eat. Or would you like to come home? We've got a meal. We didn't make enough. Folks, come on, you can throw a little more water in the soup. It'll be all right. Or you can eat a little less and share and give and honor the visitors with the first and take what's left over. Oh, what a sacrifice. But yeah, don't mess with our food, preacher. Well, you can be gracious and hospitable. And you know what? I think one of these days when you get to heaven, you'd probably be kind of, wouldn't it be a terrible thing that at the judgment seat of God, we find out that in our lives here at the church or outside of the church house, we treated somebody very, very poorly, very ill. And you know what? They were really a messenger sent by God to test us, to see how we would respond to a need, to see how we would respond to somebody in need. Okay, don't get a calloused heart. Not everybody out there is trying to scam you. Not everybody out there is without genuine need. And so be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. I think you need to be wise, but be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, because you may very well already in your life have entertained angels unaware. Number three, angel, the word angel is used in the masculine gender, though in a human sense they are genderless. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said to them, "You do err, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they," speaking of the angels, "neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." And angels are always identified as men. Boy, that makes me feel good. Amen. See, you know, ladies, you should be excited about this and aware that when God wanted to present angels to us, they used masculine form. And of course, it would be very obvious why that would be true, that they would do that, because most men are angelic. That's the first word you probably think of when you're trying to describe your husband is, "Tell me a little bit about your husband." Well, he's angelic. That's probably exactly the word that Sister Stephanie would use, exactly that word. But park right there a minute. They do in the Bible. We usually, when we put on the plays, we get the cute little girls and put wings on them and halos, but you never see an angel in the Bible that appears in female form. They're always in masculine form, and yet the Bible says that in, as far as in a human sense, a physical sense, they don't marry. They're not given in marriage. They're talking about men and women in the resurrection, that we will be as the angels, neither marrying nor giving in marriage. And I want to say this too, because again, there's so many crazy things, and I know there's people and good men that would disagree with what I'm going to say. But folks, listen, be very careful with Genesis chapter number 6. When the sons of God married the daughters of men, there's some really interesting, crazy notions going on about that. And everything from aliens to fallen angels marrying human beings. Well, according to this verse, angels are genderless in the sense of the physical form. And I think that the danger of that is missing the teaching, of the accurate teaching of Genesis chapter number 6. It's more fun to, have this kind of spooky supernatural interpretation, this kind of alien interpretation. That's more appealing to us. But the honest truth is the teaching of the chapter that we're missing there, if we go down that road, is that the sons of God, by the way, were the descendants of Seth, and the children of men were the descendants of Cain. And the entire world in a couple of generations was destroyed because godly young people decided, and by the way, let's just say it the way it is, godly young men with a godly Christian heritage would rather chase the girls of Cain's descendants than they would marry godly young ladies of Seth's descendants. Bible says that they made their decision on this. They were fair. This was the basis of their decision. They were fair to look upon. I always say this, they wore less, but they were worth less. So they appealed to the eyes, the lust of the, hey, young man, how about you? Are you more interested in a godly young lady or some little hoochie mama? You going to chase a little short skirt right out of the will of God? Come on, you better listen to me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We've lost just about an entire generation of young people because young men, I'm putting it on the young men. Young men. More worried about sneaking out and chasing a bunch of worldly girls and lost girls because to satisfy the lust of their flesh than they are to save themselves and have enough sense to understand the most important attribute in a young lady is godliness. I think there's a lot of young ladies. I'm just going to say this. Sadly, there's a lot of young ladies. Go to the average Bible college. You're about 2/3, 1/3. Where's the guys at? A lot of them are already out of the will of God. You know why? Because they're watching the wrong kind of movies. And their lust starts building up. Get on the wrong websites, lust start building up. Looking at the wrong magazines, lust start building up. Next thing you know, 16, 17, 18, they're more interested in chasing the flesh than they are the will of God. By the time they wake up, by the way, you know what? That little hoochie mama that wanted to show everything to get your attention, that's who you married. And she's not done showing everything to get somebody else's attention. You better be smart. I'm going to tell you what. You save yourself one of these godly young ladies. You'll be happy that you did that. I said, preacher, you're having a little bit of a rant here. I need to have a little bit of a rant here. I mean it. I've listened to godly men. Supposedly, godly men that kind of kid with our young men about the fact, you know, that, well, you know what? I've heard this thing. Well, you know what? Marry a pretty girl. I mean, you know what? It's better if she's pretty and ungodly. She can always get godly, but she can't, an ugly woman can't get pretty. Saying stuff like that. I mean, I've heard a kid about in public forums like that. I want to stand up and say, you're propagating the philosophy that destroyed the world. You're propagating the philosophy that caused God to kill everybody on planet Earth except one family in a boat. I got an idea. Why don't you marry a godly girl and make her pretty? All right. You better listen to what I have to say because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of young men that, you know what, they threw away their future, threw away their entire future and all the possibility of God because they chased somebody, some worldly girl out of the will of God. Anybody, if I was cruel enough, mean enough, I could stand here and name names. It's happened in this church. Shame on those young men. I said shame on those young men. They're not the examples you young men ought to be looking to. Number four. Okay, I feel better. Number four. Angels are extremely numerous. They're extremely numerous. Let me read a couple verses to you. Matthew 26:53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father? Jesus said that in Gethsemane. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently send me more than 12 legions of angels? So they were at the beckoning call of Jesus. Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And so there's a lot of angels. And so don't worry, God has more than enough reinforcements. God wants to send them our way when they're needed. And like I said before, sometimes the reason we're fighting without the assistance that we need is because we don't pray, we don't ask. I'm going to risk something here. And I'm going to recommend a book for you to read. If you've never read the book that came out years ago, This Present Darkness, I'm going to recommend that you read it. Do I agree with every single thing in the book? No, I don't. Not sure I agree with every single thing in the books I've written. But I know this, everything in this book you can agree with. Anything written by man is going to be. But I will tell you this. Years ago I read that book, This Present Darkness. And who's the man that wrote it? Who? Peretti. And I will tell you this. The one thing that I walked away from with that book was this. The importance of the church praying. It's a fiction, it's a novel, it's fiction, but I believe what the story that he tells in that book will cause you to understand the importance of prayer. It's the story of a man that comes into a city and basically is fighting for the spiritual, for spiritual revival in that city. He goes into a satanic stronghold. And the process that this man in a little Bible preaching church goes through, and the battle that he fights on his knees to defeat the forces of Satan and to appeal to God to send forth ministering angels. I mean, it's a fascinating read. And again, if you find something nitpicky in there or something that's not exactly accurate, don't call me a heretic for it. I'm just saying, go into it, reading it, understanding it's fiction. But I'll tell you what, I've never viewed things quite the same after reading that book. So take it for what it's worth, and it'd be good read for you. All right, number five, angels have a unique relationship to the believers. Now, this is exciting to me. I like this. Angels have a unique relationship to the believers. Hey, the angels of God know who the children of God are. The angels of God know who the children of God are and who the children of Satan are on this earth. And they have a unique relationship to the believers. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. While you're going there, I'll read some things. Angels are ministering spirits. That's 1 Kings chapter 19. Angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those of us who are heirs of salvation. This ministry provides us with physical safety and personal well-being. So God assigns and sends angels to watch over his children. Angels are our, can I say this, heavenly bodyguards, God's security team for the saved. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5, apologize for my voice, but all of those folks that were on the trip can tell you that it's 100 times better than it was 2 or 3 days ago. So thank you, Lord, for giving me the voice to preach. 1 Kings 19:5, for as he, and that's Elijah, lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his hand, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. It's an interesting story. We won't go into all of it, but it's an interesting story about Elijah and a time when he got down very, listen, he didn't just get depressed, folks. He became suicidal. He had just spent himself. You know the story in 1 Kings chapter 18. I say it this way, all three of his gas tanks was on empty, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. He was flat on E, and he basically curled up under a tree and prayed and asked God to take him home to kill him. And he felt alone. He didn't feel like there was anybody else left. And he had good reason to feel that way. Read chapter number 18. And he said, if the Lord be Lord, serve him. If Belial or Baal, then serve him. And the Bible says that the children of Israel answered him not a word. The wicked sin of apathy. I mean, folks, when your preacher says something, say amen. Don't leave a man of God feeling like he's the only one standing here preaching, the only one for right. Hey, nod your head. Don't stare holes through me. Let me know that you're there. Let me know that you agree. Let me know that you're... I'm going to tell you, more and more men of God are getting ready, are quitting the ministry or borderline quitting the ministry. And you know why? Because they've got a bunch of stone-faced Book of Jeremiah Christians that just stare them down and criticize everything they preach and are against everything, every vision they cast, and murmur and complain about everything the pastor does. And you know what? Elijah had just come to himself and said, that's it. You know what? There isn't anybody that cares. I'm the only one left. Now, was it true? Absolutely, it was not true. But you know what's amazing? What the devil can convince you of. During those times where you're just going through great testing, you know. And so here God sent an angel, and he knew what he needed. He needed his physical body refreshed, so he let him sleep. And when he woke up, he fed him, let him sleep. When he woke up, he fed him. and he just physically, he got his gas tank back up. And then spiritually filled his gas tank back up. It took him up on Mount Sinai. And you know what? The presence of God came in a wind, and it came in a and the fire and the lightning and the thunder, and then it came in that still small voice, and he had a fresh encounter with God that just gave him that spiritual energy he needed. And then, thank God, this is what else God gave him in that chapter. He said, now I want you to go find a young man. He's down plowing, and I'm going to give you a young Elisha, and you're going to find, I'm going to give you a servant. You know what Elijah just needed? He was older up in age. He was older in the ministry, and he just needed a young man to come alongside and help him and serve with him. And by the way, with Elisha's help, Elijah's ministry was extended 15 years past when he said, God, I'm done. You got to be done with me. I want to go to heaven. And God brought a young man. Hey, you know what? God may not call you to preach, but you can be an Elisha. You can be an Elisha. We've got them all over this church. I mean this. So there's young men in their 20s and 30s that are just such a blessing. When people ask me about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, one of the things I say is, well, we've got some good young couples coming up. And you, I mean it. You young men are an encouragement to me. And thank you for being that. An encouragement to the older people in our church that have, by the way, they have worked. They have given. They've served. And you know what? We've got my dad's generation, aged generation. You know what they need? They need young people, young adults that are stepping up into their place, into their shoes, and taking over what they physically are not able to do like they did 20, 30 years ago. Let's, young ladies, we need you too. Thank God for godly women and godly young ladies and godly mothers and wives that are supporting these young men and saying, you know what? We're gonna be there to see that the work of God goes on. We're not clamoring for compromise. We're not criticizing standards. We're not saying the church is that. You know, we're standing up and standing with our pastor and with the ministry here. What a blessing that is. What encouragement that is. But God sent an angel. Let me read a couple more verses to you. Well, back to the point. I got on a little rabbit trail there and came. I'm back, though. Angels have a unique relationship to believers. How about Psalm 34:7? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Amen. How many of you like camping? You like to go camping? I do, too. I love to go out and rough it in a Holiday Inn Express somewhere. I like camping, but let me just say this. Hey, there's some camping going on. God's angels like to go out camping. And you know what? They encamp round about. What? Wait a minute. Just any Christian? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. How about Daniel 6:22? My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. You know what? Daniel was in trouble. Remember what happened to the next crew that got thrown in that pit? Bible said they didn't even hit the ground. They were eaten before they hit the ground. Don't tell me those lions weren't hungry. Don't tell me they weren't man-eaters. What happened when Daniel was let down in there? Can you see these angels? Can you see Daniel being let down into that pit? And you see these angels of God, invisible, descending around with, you don't think the lights, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I think sometimes animals see what we can't see. Animals sense what we can't sense. Hey, I've been in the presence of demonic activity and seen animals respond to it. They know it's there. All right, are you listening to me? Can you see these mighty angels with their flaming swords coming around in a circle down there, and you see them lions all back up? And you see them just guard him all night long like this. And every once in a while, lion, and they're carrying over in the corner, and they're hungry, and they want to eat, but I'm going to tell you something. They're held at bay. And here comes the king, and Nebuchadnezzar, and he starts hollering for Daniel in the morning, and they let down a rope, and those angels follow him back up. Those lions converge at the bottom, and when the next group's thrown down, there are no angels to protect him. You know why? God's angels encamp around them that fear him. I think I'd just fear God if I was you. I mean, even if you didn't want to, and even if you were a selfish person, I think I'd be smart enough just to fear God. Because you know what? I like the fact that as a preacher, good night, I can't believe you asked for our kids and you put them on a bus and you drove them all the way. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If you could have seen with with the invisible, I think you would have seen, because of the prayers of the people that were back home, I think you would have seen an entire army of angels accompanying that bus and those young people every single place we went. And that's just not true on a mission. That's true tomorrow for you and your children, and the next day, hey, you know what? Some of you, your children live in other parts of the world, and it's hard sometimes. And I remember when we took Tabitha and we were praying about where she ought to go to Bible college, and we took her several places, and she said, Daddy, I'm just not, I'll go wherever you want me to go, but I'm just not, I don't have peace about. And I said, well, let's go out and visit one in California. And you'd have thought, I can't tell you. And some of you, you know it was you. And you came up to my wife and said, you are not going to let your daughter go to California. Folks, listen to me. The safest place for my kids to be is in the will of God. Safest place for my kids to be is in the will of God. Wherever that is, that's where they're the safest. And oh my goodness sakes, I'd never let my kid. You better stop that right now. First of all, they're lent to you. They're not yours. They're God's. Children are the heritage of the, not the Ross family. Okay, not the Sagercy family, not the Walton family. Okay, not the Maori family. No, they're not heritage. They're not your heritage. They're the heritage of the Lord. And so I listened to the concerns of some of you. And so we got on a plane and we flew out there and we landed in California. And I got out and I said, Lord, are you here? And he said, yep. And I said, okay, good enough. I know some of you don't believe God's in California, but he is. He's there. Amen. Some of the most amazing and mighty ministries that's going on in America is happening right in some of the worst liberal sections of our, I mean, talk to old Jim Townsley out there on the East Coast, folks. You talk about, you know, East and left and right coast, they're both controlled by the devil. But some of the most exciting ministries are happening in these faraway places. And we flew out there, me and my wife, and we got to watch our daughter, AJ, and rally up all them kids and had a time, and God did a miracle. And I'm just telling you, hey, you know where I want my babies at, my kids, my grandkids? I want them in the will of God. Wherever that is, parents, you sign it. Listen, don't hold your kids back from the will of God. Don't you discourage your children from pursuing the will of God. Now, I mean, I'm talking to small town Indiana people, and you sit there and nod, but I know how you are. And too many of you honestly will fight God's will to keep your kids right here, your grandkids, within hugging and kissing distance. But I'm telling you what, you want them in the will of God. And wherever that takes them, you support them in that. And you encourage that. Don't you discourage them. Okay, don't carry on this campaign of undermining the will of God so you can get them back home. Are you listening to me? Safest place. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I don't do that to Tabitha. We encourage every time I'm out. And I can tell she's homesick sometimes. And if I wanted to, I could capitalize on that as a daddy. But all she ever hears is how proud I am. And you know what? Baby, you're right where God wants you. And God's using you. And it's so good. And we're so proud of you. And you know what? Then you hang up and do the crying. Some of your kids go to Bible college and they call after 3 or 4 weeks. And you know what? They're just as homesick. And you know what a mama wants to do? Honestly, we were human. We'll say, you're probably right, it wasn't your will of God. Because you're more kid sick than they are homesick. But you know what? You get on the phone and you tell them, we prayed about this and we decided, and this is the will of Almighty God. And young lady or young man, you stay right there. You're not even welcome home. You stay right there. And I don't want a disobedient, rebellious child. I don't want God's judgment coming in on our house. No, you stay in the will of God. And then you hang up and you bawl your eyes out. And get over it. But I'm going to tell you something. The best place is the will of God. Ministering spirits. Well, that's all the time we have. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this study. And Lord, thank you for these wonderful helpers, this invisible army that you, deploy to your people in times of need. And Lord, oh, we see Elijah and during a heartbroken time of desperation and depression. Oh, we haven't even got to Jesus in Gethsemane. There he is. He's weeping great drops of blood. And you send one of your ministering angels to go and strengthen his body and strengthen his spirit and strengthen his resolve. And Lord, all through the Bible we see this happening. Now, do we ever see him? No, we won't see him. For the most part, we'll never see him. We won't know they're there. But oh, what opportunity one of these days to come to heaven and to be able to meet these mighty warriors of God that came and fought on our behalf and protected us. And Lord, the stories they're going to be able to tell us of how they went before us and dangers that awaited and traps that were laid and possible situations that could have brought harm and how they just swept those things out of the way and changed the direction, delayed our travel a bit, just made it so that we got to where we, Lord, there's no way we're going to know all these things, but what a time that's going to be in heaven. And so, Lord, thank you, dear God, Lord, for these ministering spirits. Now bless our next service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.